And if you are an alert person to the sermons or you take notes, you can tell me this morning that, hey, you preached Joshua 24 last Father's Day. I say, yes, I did. And this is sort of a continuation to that. All right? Joshua 24, I want to bring your attention first to verse 29. I'm going to preach to you about the only man in the Bible who didn't have a father on Father's Day. Do y'all know who the only man in the Bible is who didn't have a father? Look at verse 29. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of who? Nun. The only man who didn't have a father. Joshua, the son of Nun. The first service, they told me, they said, don't use that at 11. And I said, well, I got to keep it the same. They redecided afterwards that if they had to suffer through my poor jokes, y'all did too. So let's look at verse 14. Joshua 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful for you, our Heavenly Father, our faithful Heavenly Father, the greatest example mankind has ever had of what a father should be. Father, we thank you for your word this morning and ask you to bless our time here together. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach to you this morning about faithful fathers. And if you know anything about Joshua 24, if you just look through Joshua 24, you will find the word father more in Joshua 24, probably more than it is in one condensed area and anywhere else in the Bible. The word father is very important in Joshua 24. Joshua 24 is Joshua, the leader of the nation of Israel. And we're going to refer to them as the family of Israel because they were all family. They were all whose children? God's. And after God, whose? Abraham. Y'all know Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham, and we won't sing the song because y'all get dizzy. But we all know that song. We learned it from Vacation Bible School or Bible Club or something growing up. But Joshua is part of the leader of this family. We begin in Joshua chapter 1 of him becoming that leader. In Joshua 24, we get the conclusion of the matter. Joshua has called the nation together here and is giving his farewell speech. He is going off the scene. His time of being their leader is over, and he calls them together in one last ditch effort, one last speech, one final farewell address. Joshua calls them together and says, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that in itself is a wonderful Father's Day sermon as we see this father stand before the nation and say, you guys do what you want to, but this house, my people, we're going to go God's way. We are on the Lord's side and the Lord is on our side and we're going to follow in His way. And that in itself is a wonderful, wonderful Father's Day sermon. But I want to draw your attention by way of introduction to a little bit more here this morning, something he said there that should strike you in verse number 14. He says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. That's a pretty normal thing to say. But to say this, put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. What do we know about the flood? Who got to live through the flood? Noah and his family. And that's because they found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And everybody else, God cleaned the earth, right? He washed away all the false gods and the sinful deeds and all that was happening. Well, how in the world did idols make it through the flood? You ever considered this? Joshua says here, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. Unless somebody in Noah's house brought something over with them, there should be no gods. And here, still in the history of God's people, we encounter again this, put away the gods which your father, stop serving idols. There is one God, and His name is Yahweh, Jehovah God. He is the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Are you going to serve those false gods? Are you going to serve those idols? Are you going to serve Almighty God? And here we find that. And that in itself, as we know that from Abraham and through Moses and then through Joshua, and then you can trace your own family tree right out of that, that things are passed from generation to generation to generation, and to find that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and Noah and his sons' wives were the only ones that came through the flood, but still we find this presence of these idols and these false gods. If that doesn't show you, nothing will show the importance that the father plays in the home. These men would have left this mess out of their homes. It would have been eliminated with the flood and would never made it through. And everybody from that point forward would have been serving Almighty God. Now, that's very hypothetical for me to go there. But I hope you get the point of how important a faithful father is. And that's what I want to talk to you about today is faithful fathers. The world needs faithful fathers. The world needs men who will lead their families. The church needs men who will lead within the church. Our local community needs men and women too, but today is Father's Day, who will lead on the local government level. Our world needs men who will lead on the national level. Our nation needs men who are men to step up and lead. And that comes from faithful fathers. The best children that have ever been born to raise are those who were raised. And obviously, mothers, I don't mean to degrade you here this morning. You're important as well. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. I'm aware of this, but that's Mother's Day talk. Y'all get that next year. But that strong, godly father in the home is so important in the upbringing of a child. And this is not a very popular Father's Day sermon because I'm going to give you a charge this morning, men. But it's time that us men became men. The Bible talks about Joshua and how he was strong and courageously led. God told him to be strong and of a good courage. Told him to hold forth God's word and to meditate in his law night and day and not let its words ever leave his mouth and to lead his family that way. And that is what a faithful father is a father who will take God's word in his hand and lead his family based off what's in here.
Yes, sir.
That's what I want to talk to you about here this morning is being a faithful father. And I want to use God, our faithful Heavenly Father, as our guide for this. I'm no God. I'm one of the youngest fathers in here. I've got a lot to learn still. And all of us, if we'd be honest, have our own flaws. We appreciate our Heavenly Fathers today. I gave my father a round of applause when he came in for Sunday school this morning. He didn't like that too well, and I won't ever do it again, but I did it nonetheless. I'm proud to be his son. But our greatest example is our Heavenly Father. Let me show you a few things here. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verse number 1. Down through verse number 4, we see God, not just our faithful Father, but God, our faithful designer. Verse 1, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt." Do you see God's design through their family tree here? As Joshua gathers them together and prepares to give them this address and prepares to give them this charge to finally say to them, choose this day whom you will serve, he begins back and goes through a historical account of, hey, this is what God has done for you. This is God's plan working in your life. He says, hey, from your father Abraham and from your father Moses, he says, I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood by grace. Though you were in great sin, God showed grace and brought you through the flood, and your family lived on to see the next day. This was God's design in your life. I multiplied your seed. I gave you children. I gave your children children. I gave your children's children children. And this was God, faithful designer, working his plan in their lives. You know, each and every one of us has God's plan working in our lives. Each and every one of us has God's design making its way through our paths of life. We like to think of things as random or things to be just happening. But I'm telling you, you didn't just happen to have the daddy that you have. You didn't just happen to have your dad raise you the way you were. You didn't happen to just become the man you were to raise your kids the way you are. God, at some point in each and every one of our family trees, began his design in our lives in a certain way. They'll all end in the same way. Now, the details in between, every one of us has a different story. But I guarantee you could trace back through your family tree. It may be your generation. It may be the generation before you. Hopefully, it's 15 generations before you. But somebody can tell you of an account of we weren't church people And then this thing happened, and we became church people. You all have that story. We were living just a normal life in Winder, Georgia, of all places. Living good. I was a little boy who enjoyed his Sundays at home riding his bicycle and getting on the back of Dad's work truck pretending to be a trash man. We didn't need God, did we, Dad? We're living a normal life. We didn't think we needed God. We were happy. We were living the American dream. We were red-blooded Americans, proud of who we were and doing good. And then just real randomly one Saturday afternoon, you know, random, this church decided to come to our neighborhood and decided to come to our street. And God's design began that day.
Amen.
We didn't need God. But we thought we didn't. But our family tree changed that day.
Amen.
All they did was come by and say, would y'all go like to go to church? And from there, the series of events began. Somebody got saved and somebody else got saved. And then we got in church and we got in Sunday school and we started hearing the Word of God. And then the children got saved and got baptized. And now the children have grown up and their children are beginning to get saved. And on and on and on. It will go in our lives because God, our faithful designer, at some point in our lives, through His own mercy and through His own grace and not because of our own benefit and our own good, began His design and is working His design now in our lives. We were living just a normal life, but God was still our faithful Father. And as our faithful Father was our faithful designer and worked His plan in our lives. As we read on, not only do we see God our faithful designer, but we see God our faithful deliverer. In verse 5, He says, I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. Afterward, I brought you out, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And you came into the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, He put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. Not only was God here, as Joshua kind of goes back through their history and tells them, this is your history, this is where you came from. Not only was God their faithful Father in that He was a faithful designer, but He was also their faithful Father in that He was a faithful deliverer. He said, I sent you Moses and Aaron, and I brought you out of Egypt. I delivered you from Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world, and the bondage that they were in Egypt as slaves is a type of the sin that you and I find ourselves in. And God said, I sent you a preacher man, and I delivered you from the world, and I delivered you from that sin that you were in bondage unto, and I brought you out of Egypt. He goes farther there. Well, He says, I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and then you came to the sea. And we find the nation of Israel, they're up against the sea, and there's a rock and a hard place on either side of them, and they have nowhere to go. And Pharaoh's army's coming behind them, and God said, I became your faithful deliverer then, as I just spoke the words, or I just breathed the words, and the sea parted, and you walked across on dry ground. God became their faithful deliverers. He says, the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen into the Red Sea. I drowned them in their chariots there. I put darkness between you and them so that they couldn't find you. And then He says, you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. But even in that time during the wilderness, their shoes never worn out. Well, what a blessing. God's not just our faithful designer. He didn't just begin this path that we are on, but He's in the boat with us. When the disciples were in the boat with Jesus, He was asleep in the boat resting. He was tired. He'd been preaching all day. And a storm came and they went down to Jesus in the boat and woke Him up and said, we're all about to die. Don't you care about us? Wasn't it evident that Jesus cared about them? He was in the boat with them. No matter what we face in life, Jesus is right there in the boat with us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You may have to go through the storm, but Jesus will be right there in the boat with you. He's not just our faithful designer. He's not just some God in heaven controlling His little robots here on earth. He is a God who did implement a design, but stayed right with us to be our deliverer through the thing. And if it's Egypt He has to go to get us out, He will go. And if it's plagues He has to send to cause the world to turn us loose, He'll send them. If it's darkness or spreading a sea or whatever it is God has to do, He will deliver us. And if He has to make our shoes last for 40 years, He'll make our shoes last for 40 years. God is our faithful Father, our faithful deliverer. And then in verse 8, we notice not only is God our faithful designer, our faithful deliverer, Well, I'm not finished with verse 5 through 7. Is that all right? Can I back up a little bit? You see, it was fine that God began His design, His plan in our lives through my parents. But I wasn't getting to heaven on that. See, there came a day where Chance had to get saved. Not because Daddy was saved and not on Daddy's faith. It was the faith of my fathers that led me there. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but can't make him drink. But somebody taught me a little while back, you can put enough salt in their feed, they'll want to drink real bad. They did that to me. Kept me in church, kept me under the sound, preached Word of God. And that day came where it pierced my heart, and there was nothing I could do but get saved. And God became not only Dad's deliverer, not only Mom's deliverer, but God became my deliverer. And then the day came where, for my son Jack, he's made a profession of faith and been baptized, and God became his deliverer. And Jack will have some children someday, Lord willing, and God will become their deliverer, and on and on and on through the generations. It's not just a thing for my fathers, it's a thing for me as well. He is our faithful Father, and He is that faithful designer, but He's also the faithful deliverer. And then in verse number 8, we read and see that God's not only our designer and our deliverer, but He's also our defender. You see, when God begins to work His plan in His life, Satan doesn't like it. The world doesn't like it. They want you to stay like you are so they can take advantage of you. But you begin to get in the Word and allow God to make you new, to renew your mind. You begin to think straight. You begin to act right and do what's right according to the Word of God. Satan and the world and your old sinful flesh don't like that. And then the problems come. See, a lot of us have been sold this lie. Get saved and all your wildest dreams will come true. No, it's get saved and the worst trouble you've ever seen will happen. But I'm going to tell you, I'd rather be in the boat in the middle of a storm with Jesus than on the bank watching the folks in the boat in the middle of the storm with Jesus. I'd rather just be with Jesus. But when the trouble comes, because He's our faithful Father, He's our faithful deliverer. He's our faithful designer, but more so, He's our faithful defender. Notice how He's their defender here in verse 8. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hands that you might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel and sent Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. Do you see God's defense there? A nation could not defeat this family. So they hired a man to come in and curse them. And God said, I wasn't going to have that. I just called that man to bless you. The man who was hired to kill you, I called him to keep you alive. God's their faithful defender. Verse number 11, he said, And you went over Jordan, and you came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you. You know the story of Jericho. Well, they really had to fight hard in Jericho, didn't they? You remember that story? No. They just marched around the city. I mean, they were like the marching band won the football game. You ever seen the marching band win a football game? No, it takes linebackers and quarterbacks and running backs and coaches and all this. But not this time. The marching band watched around the stadium. The other team just quit and left. It's a good band, isn't it? God said, I'm your defender. I'm not just your deliverer. I'm not just going to pull you up out of this miry clay and set your feet upon the rock and leave you. I'm not just going to begin this work in you and not complete it. No, He who begun this good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He who began this good work in your family will be faithful to complete it in your family. He who began this good work in you, Father, will be faithful to complete it in your wife and in your children and in your children's children. Men, as much as we want to be, we want to act strong. Many times we operate weak. We're afraid our wives won't like it. We're afraid our children won't like it. The hardest thing it ever was for me as a man in my life in the spiritual sense to do was to say, God wants me to be a preacher. That's a big feat. I wanted to keep my wife. And if my wife had rather me do anything else and stay my wife, I would have done anything else and her stayed my wife. To go to her and say, by the way, we're leaving the state. That was a hard one. But at least then I could say, but we'll come back. But to go to her and say, some guy named George Rye's retiring, and he wants me to come out there and us move to another state, She wanted to kill you, brother. I'll just be honest with you. Men, we just got to be men. They want to be led. They want you to lead them. They'll follow. He said, I defended you when it came to Jericho. And then he says, the Amorites, verse 11, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. That's a bunch of ites. You say, man, I just finished fighting this, and now here comes that. And I just finished fighting that, and now here comes this. That's exactly what we read here. And on and on and on, God defended them day after day, week after week, year after year, month after month. We get tired, we get sick, we get worn down. We say, I can't face this anymore. And here's our Heavenly Father, here's Jesus Christ, our groomsman, our kinsman redeemer. We're His bride, and He is our groom, and He left us in John 14. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And for us to lose heart and to lose faith in Him, our faithful defender, would be for that bride to say to her groom, I know you said you've gone to your daddy's house to make a place for me, but here I am stuck in my parents' house and I'm tired of waiting. That would be a silly thing for a bride to say, wouldn't it? I know you're there making a place for me at your dad's house, but boy, the roof's leaking over here at my place. Would you come back down here and fix my roof? No, His resources need to be focused there. Don't let your mind become so earthly focused that you become no heavenly good. So all of the ites, and He says, and I delivered them into your hand. Verse 12 is very interesting. I sent the hornet before you. Can you imagine that? Here they go marching off to battle. They've got their spears and swords or whatever it is they use. Maybe they had slingshots. And here comes a swarm of bees and didn't touch any of them. And went ahead of the army there and just stung them all. And they got to watch a bunch of people get stung and go try to jump off in lakes and whatever it is people do when they get stung. And then they got to inhabit their land. And here laid all these people with bee stings all over them. They're all swollen up. And God said, see, I'm your defender. If I have to send bees before you, I will take care of you. I've made walls fall. I've split a sea apart. I've sent bees before you. I am your faithful deliverer, God says here. I drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And then verse 13 is the conclusion of that matter. And I have given you land for which you did not labor, cities which you built not, and you dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not do you eat. They got to live in land they didn't plow, cities they didn't build, and eat food that they didn't have to plant. God is a faithful Father. He's our faithful designer. He's our faithful deliverer. He's our faithful defender. He will take care of you. Dads who are here today, that's the example that we have to live up to. But you know the goodness of that is you don't have to be super dad. Just lead your family following a super God. Take His word as your guide and lead your family following Him. Are you being the father your wife and children need you to be? Are you being the dad that God expects you to be? Are you being the man that God has called you to be? You see, we read this on the back end. We read the end of Joshua's life here. But if you'll turn with me to Joshua chapter number 1, you can grasp the beginning of Joshua's life here as he begins to undertake this great feat. And we see the charge that was given to him here. On the back end, it seems good. He's the faithful leader who stands before the people and says, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But it didn't start that way for Joshua. And it won't start that way for you. You're not just going to wake up one day and your kids rise up and call you blessed. You're going to have to decide today that I'm going to lead them in this path. Verse number 6, Joshua is told here, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Here's the key to it. This is how he was told to do it. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. What is that? The Word of God. Don't let the Word of God depart from your mouth. You don't need New Age ways to raise your family. Just keep them in the Word.
Amen.
But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Wasn't that what we all want for our families? To be successful? You know how I gauge my success? Off my children. They do good, I've done good. Am I wrong there, or are y'all the same way? Help me out here, dads. I feel like that's about right. That's how we all operate. The Bible tells us very plainly as fathers, if you'll begin like this, like Joshua, if you'll be strong, if you'll be courageous, if you'll be a man about it, if you'll man up and lead them on the truths of God's Word, you will have good success. And then in the end, you can end like Joshua. One final thing I'll point out to you here as a conclusion, I guess. The people answered him. Verse 16 down through the rest of the chapter, you can read. People answered Joshua there and they said, oh, we'll serve the Lord. I mean, who wouldn't after a sermon like that? He said, God's the one who started your life. God's the one who's kept you alive. And God's the one who's going to keep you alive. Choose who you're going to serve. Oh, yeah, well, we want to serve the Lord. And Joshua had to give them a hard truth. You can read this. I'm not just making this up. He said, you cannot. Does anybody know why he said you cannot? Because of your idols. Dads, we got to come to a point where no matter what we've got to kick out of our lives, no matter what we've got to kick out of our homes, no matter what we've got to start doing or stop doing, it is worth that price to pay for us for that success we want from chapter number one. There is nothing more important than your family. There is nothing more important than your home. God ordained the home long before He ever ordained the church. Are you a faithful father? We've got a great example from God, our faithful Father. I'm challenging you today to be the man your family needs you to be. I'm challenging myself. I'm right there with you guys. Be the man this church needs you to be. There are families in this church that don't have a strong man to lead them. They need you to fill in that gap. That's part of our duties as men in this church. Make up that hedge and fill in that gap and help these families. Let's stand and have a time of prayer. As we pray today, pray and ask God to help you be that man that you need to be. Help you to be strong and very courageous and to lead your family and to be that faithful father. Hey, we're going to go here in a minute, and you may have already, or you may then. You're going to get a nice handmade card or something that your family gave you. Mine gave me one this morning. Henry wrote in there, he had a picture of me and him, and I was dressed in a bee suit. And I love that, Henry. That is perfect. I've never been in a bee suit, but I'm going to find me one because if my 6-year-old son thinks I need to be in a bee suit, well, maybe I just need to be in a bee suit. So if you see me at Walmart later and I'm in a bee suit, you'll know why. And they got me another tie. I don't need another tie, but I like it. And it's wonderful. And it's my tie. And my family picked it out and gave it to me. And they were going to love on me all day long. Tell me how great a guy I am. And you're going to get that too. But before we do that, let's be that person. Let's be that man that they want us to be, that they expect us to be, that they assume that we are. Dad, you may have some sin here that you've been hiding from mom or the kids that you'd never want them to find out about. Get it out today. Clean it up. Get rid of it. You ain't got to tell me and you don't got to tell them. Tell the Lord, ask Him to forgive you for it. Kick it out of your home. Dad, you may not have some sin. You just may be the dad who comes home and vegges out in front of the TV and is a zombie to your children. Stop that. Lead them. Come home and be their daddy. Come home and be the husband they need you to be. Be strong and courageous. You may be doing all of that outside the doors of the church, but maybe you're not leading them inside the church. Be the fathers we need inside this church today. This church will never be any stronger than our families. That's all we are, is our families. We're going to have a time of prayer. Use this time today to get things right with God so you can celebrate Father's Day the right way as a faithful father. Father, I thank you for the wonderful men that help make up the families of our church. Thank you that they're here in church. Thank you that they bring their families. Lord, I thank you that they've committed themselves to a church that is sold out on being committed to the Word of God. Lord, we are nothing more than we'll ever be outside the influence of the Word of God. And I thank you for these men who are here today. Lord, I pray that you'll bless their homes, bless their families, bless the ministry that they each have, Lord, there to their homes and their families. God, help us all to do your will in a mighty way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.